Well, all right. Thank you guys for everything there. It was fantastic. Take your Bibles, if you have one, and turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. If you find yourself there, if you'll just stand with me, we'll read this together. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. The Word of God says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inner man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now just take your eyes and move over to chapter 8, verse 12. And let's pick up there. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Thank you. Have a seat. Heavenly Father, it's time for your word to go out. And I pray, Lord, that you would give your words, that your Spirit would work, and that, Lord, in a powerful and clear way for everyone to understand and for you to get all the glory, that your word would just penetrate hearts, that it would change hearts and minds today as it has the power to do every time it goes forward. And we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that as your word goes out, it does not fail at what you send it out to do, but it will accomplish exactly that. So we look forward to seeing what that is, and we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when I was getting ready for this week, the planning and timing of God has always been very funny to me. This Sunday, our focus is going to be on war. And Mother's Day and war, they're kind of odd together. This is not the most awkward Mother's Day Sunday I've ever had, though. The planning and providence of God, once in our study of a different book, led us to arrive at the subject of circumcision on Mother's Day. That one takes the cake. That one wins for awkwardness. So today, as we approach war, you're starting to put together why I'm in camouflage, and that's good. That's good for you. It wasn't just that Aaron didn't dress me this morning. What I wanted to do in something as simple as putting on camouflage is my hope and my prayer is that something so bizarre looking to you, as I've gotten more comments on what I wore today than I've ever gotten in my entire life. And because, you know, if you change anything at church, it just gets everybody. But hopefully you won't remember that I wore something different for the sake of wearing something different. But hopefully what will happen in your mind is you'll say, you remember the time that crazy preacher wore camouflage to preach in? And somebody will say, yeah, that's when he preached on war. Okay, so, all right. What kind of war am I talking about? There is a war. If you're a Christian here today, you are currently involved in a war, and that war is with sin. Sin, Paul has taught us up to this point in the book, sin is in you. If you're a Christian, sin is still in you. You still have a nature and a desire towards sin. And so as you sit here today, you ought to be able to think in your mind, yeah, that's true, because even as a Christian, I still have these things that I do that I shouldn't be doing. So I'm still sinning. And so I've got this in my mind. Now, when you think about that, here's one of the things that needs to happen in our minds. When the Bible says we're at war with sin, you need to know that if I'm at war with sin and sin is in me, then that means my heightened awareness needs to kick way up. If you talk to a soldier, when they are at war, if they are here and the war is thousands of miles away, they have a different sensing and different feeling about them than when they are in the enemy's territory. And at any moment, the breaking twig behind them could be an enemy trying to kill them. Do you get the difference? You have if you've ever hunted, you know what, you know that heightened, a very small picture of that heightened sense of awareness. Because if you've ever hunted, especially if you've ever deer hunted, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you can walk through the woods and never hear a single squirrel. You deer hunt, and it's 700-pound squirrels come walking through the woods. Because you've got all that heightened sense of paying attention around you. Now, imagine that magnified so many times by someone who is trying to come after you, someone whose only desire is to destroy you. So for the soldier, when he is in battle, when he is on the battlefield, he is in this constant sense of awareness, constant sense of looking around and being knowing what is going on, because there is an enemy out to get him. And Paul says to us as Christians, there is an enemy whose desire is nothing but destruction for you, and that is any type of sin that sin can stir up in you. And it is not some distant field away from you. It is literally within you. And so it's a serious thing. Now, the reason you need to know that is because when we battle with sin, we tend to look at it in a much less aggressive way. We tend to think of sin as almost being kind of far away from us and not really going to inflict this kind of pain on us that it does. But listen, let me tell you, sin has but one desire, and it wants to kill you. It wants to ruin you. It wants to destroy you. Now, let me tell you this. Sometimes Christians come up with a false idea that because they are believers in Jesus Christ, they can do whatever they want to do. And that there's no consequence, there's no reality to the sin. Well, let me tell you, that's not true, because it doesn't matter if you don't feel like you're at war with sin, because sin has declared war on you. As you can't be at peace with somebody who's actively trying to destroy you. Does that make sense to you? Everything that comes against a group of people, so if you got one group of people over here and they say, okay, we want to be at peace with everybody. They can say that, but if an invading army comes in and begins to kill them all, they're not at peace with everybody. And in the Christian life, let me tell you something, there are times when we as Christians, we live like it's okay, like we can be at peace with sin. Listen, you need to understand you're at war with sin. Sin has declared this war against you, and you need to know it, because it is really, really big deal. It has really big implications. It will really come after you. It wants to destroy you. And so you see in this passage, a part of what's going on is that I got to have this idea, this concept that I'm at war. You're at war. Those heightened senses, guess what's going to happen? All right. How many of you sinned this past week? Just out of curiosity. Good, good. Not good that you sinned, but good that you knew it. How many of you have spent times in your life where you were much more aware when you were doing something you shouldn't be doing than you are at other times? Okay? All right. Now, just think for a minute there. What made you more aware was your relationship with God. The closer you walk with God, the more obvious to you your sin becomes. But when you begin to make peace with certain sins in your life, you become less aware of other things that are going on in your life, and you're going to begin to miss the work that sin is doing to try to destroy you. We understand this when we look out at some things, because when we look out at a sin that's clearly killing the person that's committing it, we look at that and we go, they shouldn't do that. It's trying to destroy them. That thing is destroying them. And the argument that Paul is making is that all sin is attempting to destroy the person who's committing it. And so we need to recognize it about all sin. It's all serious. We all need to pay attention to it. We all need to understand that we have this problem with sin stirring us up constantly, warring against us. But I want you to know something. If sin is warring against me, I should want to stop it. I shouldn't just say, it's trying to kill me. The best thing I can do is let it do that. Would it be a good soldier to go to war and say, you know, these other guys are trying to kill me. The best thing I can do is just let them do it. Okay? In your Christian life, it's the same thing. Sin's trying to destroy you. If you just say, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, you're saying, I'm just going to go ahead and destroy myself. Don't be that way. That's not good for you. So how do you go about moving into an attitude of heightened awareness? How do you go about saying, I don't want to be destroyed? Well, you got to recognize you're in the war. And then you got to start to recognize what will and will not work in the battle. Paul tells us in chapter 7 in several different ways, but in our passage especially, he says, for one, he says, verse 21, chapter 7, I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. He said, I know God's law and I love God's law. Do you delight in anything? I mean, when you delight in something, it's something you enjoy. It is something that is special to you. It's important to you. He said, I delight in God's word. I delight in God's law. I'm excited about it. I want it. And then he says, I'm willing to do God's law. I want to follow that. And then he follows all that up with this. But I keep not doing it. All right? So if you want to fight well in the battle with sin in your life, here's what you got to know. It is not, hey man, I'm with you, man. It's not enough to say, I love God's law. And it's not enough to say, I have a desire to do God's law. That will not beat sin. The reason why is we're weak in our flesh, and there's going to develop more of that in the rest of chapter 8 when we get to it. But you need to know that the first step to really dealing with sin in your life is you got to recognize what Paul recognized. You can't make a legalistic rule and then start to follow it and that will make you better. It does not work that way. It cannot work that way because sin is in us and it keeps on stirring us up. Now, if you're a Christian, by now some of this should start to make sense. Because as a Christian, you ought to know that when you're walking with God and you're struggling with sin, and it just keeps on flaring up again and again and again. Have you ever felt defeated by that? And now all of a sudden you feel kind of imprisoned by that sin and the shame that it causes. And Paul says this is all the desire of sin for you. It wants to shame you. It wants to destroy you. It wants to bring you down. And so when you get caught at that point, you say, okay, what do I do? And one of your first inclinations as a human being is going to be like, well, show me what to do and what not to do, and that's what I'll do. I'll stop doing what I shouldn't, and I will start doing what I should, and it all will make sense, right? I mean, because if you think about it, that makes perfect sense. If what's hurting me is this, then I'll just do the opposite. It's like when overweight people get told by skinny people, well, all you got to do is eat less and exercise more. That's genius. How did you come up with that? It's also extremely unhelpful. Okay? It's not unhelpful in the sense of that that's not what would work, but you have to understand there's much more than knowing certain things. There is a whole lot more than knowing something. If you really want to see some change, there has to be some change in the doing, right? And so when we struggle with sin, one of the things that happens is we may gain more and more knowledge about God's law and God's word. But the practice of what we're learning is not coming about the way that we think it should. Paul says, hey, you can be willing, you can have a desire for God's word, and it might not bring about that change that you're looking for. And you begin to become discouraged, and then the enemy attacks in different ways. And the next thing you know, you're over here, and you are just living in sin and shame because you're so discouraged by it. If you've never experienced that as a Christian, I'd be extremely surprised. Because what happens is when we battle with sin, it just keeps on piling it on. But let me tell you something. How many of you have ever made peace with some form of sin in your life? You got some sin where you're like, you know what? I would not do A, B, or C. But you know what? X, Y, and Z sins, well, that's understandable. You know my past. You know what I got going on. I mean, how many of you have ever lost your temper and did something you shouldn't have done? And you immediately followed that up with, well, it wasn't really my fault. Did you hear what they said? Listen, when he got flipped off in traffic, it was his bad driving. It wasn't really my middle finger's fault. All right. Now, when that happens, what's going on there in the mind is we're making peace with that sin that we just committed. Now, here's the danger with that, and I know this personally, so I hope you'll listen to me. The danger with making peace with sin in one area of your life is that sin is not satisfied with the front that it just took. It is an enemy that is on full attack. So if you concede one battlefield, it is not going to camp there and stay there. It is going to drive further and further and further into the recesses of your heart till it can just shame you in every area of your life. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Have you ever experienced that where you said, you know what, I'm going to let my temper be okay, or I'm going to let my drinking be okay, or I'm going to let my overeating be okay, or I'm going to let my adultery be okay, I'm going to let my pornography be okay, I'm going to let all these different things that I've deemed to be okay and to be at peace with, and I'm just going to give up to sin on those, but I'll fight it on everything else. As soon as you turn around, you're going to see defeat in every area. Because it's so strong, and as you make peace with it, it is going to come after you hard. Now, he says, so sin is fighting against me. Look over in 8:12 now. So we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. There's a whole lot that happened from where we read in 7 to this point in 8, but I just want you to have this in your mind so we can move through the last part of verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, here you go. Here's what you need to know to move forward. All right? You got to know you're in a battle, and you got to know that your enemy sin is coming hard after you. You also got to know you can't be at peace with sin. But you cannot fight sin with the wrong weapons. If you try to fight sin with just a knowledge and delight of the law and your own will, you will not see any victory over sin. You got to have something stronger than those things working together. Well, what could possibly be stronger than that? And the answer is the Holy Spirit of God that comes to dwell in every Christian after they've accepted Christ as their Savior. So God gives you of Himself in His Holy Spirit. He comes and lives in you to give you the power to have victory over sin. But notice the way that it goes about accomplishing victory in the end of verse 13. He does not say He changes your mind about it. He does not say He teaches you some new things about it. It says literally you will put sin to death. When you have an enemy that their only desire is to kill you, and no matter what they do until they take their last breath, their whole desire is going to be to destroy you. The only way to stop them from coming after you is to kill them. That's what we have to do with sin. Now, why does that matter? Because as a Christian, you and I may fight in this battle continually, and we may get tired in this battle. I'm not encouraging that you watch wrestling, but I did in the past. When I watched wrestling, my absolute favorite character was The Rock. If you didn't like The Rock, you got problems. I don't know what to tell you. I liked The Rock. He was entertaining. But you know what used to drive me crazy? He'd be in there, it'd be the biggest match of the year, and he would have his opponent on the mat. And he's a bit of a showboat. And what would he do? He'd have him there in the middle of the ring, and he'd run over to the corner of the ring and climb up on the second rope and just cheer for himself and get everybody's attention. And then he'd run across and he'd get over here in this corner and he'd yell at everybody over here. And then all of a sudden, what had happened? Well, in the 30 minutes of self-exaltation that The Rock had just done, Triple H had revived, miraculously. And he stands up and he knocks The Rock out and that horrible jerk Triple H wins again. I tell you, man, it was terrible. It was so disgusting, right? Well, in our lives with sin, here's what happens. We can be vigorous in our fight against sin, allowing the Spirit to work to bring to death sin in our lives, and then we lose a little bit of the sharpness of our focus. We forget that we're in a battle, that our enemy's design is to kill us, and the next thing you know, you've made peace with one little sin again. And so in your life, what I want to tell you, what I want to encourage you with this morning, I know this is challenging, I know this is heavy, and I know this is like just exactly what you expected with a Mother's Day sermon. But I need you to know, in your battle with sin as a Christian, it's every day that you live. Every single time that sin works towards you, its design is to destroy you. And so you need to be vigilant. You need to be ready to fight, and you need to be ready to fight with the right tools, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, and not your own will, your own desires, no matter what you couple it with, because you and I are not strong enough on our own to defeat sin. We need the power of God to be able to do so. Would you join me in prayer for a second? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word, and I want to thank you that in your word, you have told us the truth about the struggles that we have with sin. And I thank you that even though I know in my own heart the many, many defeats, I thank you that your faithfulness and forgiveness draw me back to you, and you work in my heart and my mind to continually change my view of sin. Help me to understand that sin's trying to kill me. Help every single person in this room that is a believer, help them to understand that they cannot be at peace with any sin in their lives because it's trying to destroy them no matter what it is. And give them, Lord, that victory through your Spirit to put to death those sins in their lives and help them to stay strict on it, to stay encouraged about it, to stay in the fight and battle and battle and battle. And Lord, I pray that you would do that through your Spirit. Just encourage us through that. I also pray, Lord, for anybody here who is not a believer, who they have no fight in them to truly resist sin. They don't have your Spirit, so they have no power to overcome sin. They are dead in the water. They are dead in their trespasses. And unless they are rescued by the forgiveness they can receive through your Son, they will die in their sin and be separated forever from you. And I pray, Lord, that today, if there's anybody here who is in that situation, Lord, that today you would open their hearts and minds to see that sin and all the pleasures that it brings are really disguises for destruction and death, and that they can be rescued today by the love of your Son. I pray, Lord, if that would be pleasing to you, that you would bring some person who is lost and dead in their sin to know you as their Savior. As you sit here this morning, I want to ask, because it's the most important question you can be asking, because it's the most important issue of all of life. If you are sitting here this morning and you are a Christian and you say, I am saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, having put all my faith that Jesus died for me, that he rose again the third day, and that's the only way I can be forgiven and have eternal life. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor. I just want you to slip your hand up and give a praise, just in praise to God. Just slip your hand and say praise. You don't have to say anything. Just in your heart, you're saying praise God. All right. Now listen, this morning, if you're here and you say, you know what? I do not know that my sins are forgiven. I've never known the forgiveness of Jesus. The Bible says that every single one of us that are born are sinners. None of us are perfect. You've met enough people in your life to know there's nobody perfect. And that means that every single one of us need forgiveness. So what that means is it doesn't matter what your sin is or what my sin is. The problem is we've all sinned and we all need forgiveness. And so the offer of forgiveness is in Jesus. And I want you to know that what God is offering you in forgiveness through Jesus is he's saying, I can wipe your slate completely clean for forever. I can take away all your sin, not me personally, but Jesus himself can take away all your sin for forever, and you will be totally forgiven in Jesus for everything. That's amazing, to be forgiven for everything. You say, well, what kind of cost are we talking about for that kind of forgiveness? Well, it's actually free to you It cost God a great deal. It cost him the death of his son. When Jesus died, he was dying so you could be forgiven. He was taking the punishment that you and I deserve. And the Bible says when a person comes to a place and says, I know that I've been wrong, God. I know that I've done wrong. And they say, but God, I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. But I know that what I've done wrong is keeping us from having a relationship. And he says, I can forgive all of that, but you've got to believe that I'm the only way to forgiveness. You see, when Jesus died, he died for you. You know why he died for you? Because he loves you. More than anybody else ever can or will love you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He offers you that forgiveness because he loves you. But he didn't just die. He didn't just take your punishment, but he also rose again the third day. And when he rose again, he showed forever that he was stronger than everything. He beat your sin when he died for you. He beat death when he rose again for you. And what he's offering you today, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, if you've never had your sins forgiven, he's saying, will you believe? Will today be the day that you believe, that you finally find the forgiveness that you've needed your whole life? Is there anybody here who would say, I don't have that forgiveness, but I know that I need that forgiveness? Is there anybody here who would say, that's me? I need the forgiveness that Jesus offers, and I need to know a little bit more about it. Would you do me a favor? Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. Just lift up your hand and look up here at me. Just say, hey, that's me. I need it.